Yeshaya Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Le'ilu Nishmas Avi Mori Pesach David Ben Avraham Nata. We are continuing the great messianic era as seen through the eyes of Yeshaya in a very short but incredibly well-known and well-regarded Perek Yud Aleph. So the leopard is lying down, the leopard is lying down with the kid, and the wolf is lying down with the lamb, and the lion's eating grass right next to the animals who eat grass as well as the bear. And now, v'haya b'yom ahu, pasuk yud, it will be on that great day, shoresh Yishai asher omed l'neis amim, the root of Yishai, which stands as a banner for the many nations, elav goyim yidroshu, to him the nations will inquire. So this is not mass conversion. Unlike, as I said earlier, unlike Islam, unlike Christianity, that says the cross or the sword or the turban or the scimitar, the idea that everybody must be forced to convert, Judaism makes no such pretense. The Shoresh Yishai is going to be a symbol for all of them. They will turn for guidance to Klal Yisrael, to Ben Yishai, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who ultimately is who he represents. A banner to the nations. Unlike the kings who take pride in war, says the Me'am Loes, the Mashiach will conquer with teaching. And what the true honor to him is the peace that reigns throughout the world. As we say at the end of the pasuk, V'haysa menuchaso kavod. His kavod is going to be the peace, which is, as Rabbi Hirsch says, a spectacular display of God's glory. Go to the UN. The only thing that they can all agree on is that they all hate Israel. Beyond that, there is nothing that unites anybody in this world. Republicans, Democrats, the Catholics, said the great philosopher Tom Lehrer back in the 1960s, oh, the Catholics hate the Protestants, and the Protestants hate the Catholics, and the Hindus hate the Muslims, and everybody hates the Jews. But during the Messianic era, it will be different, which is hard to imagine, which is, of course, because we are not in it. Yud Aleph, V'hoya, V'yom Hahu, and again, on that great day, it shall come to pass, Yosef, Hashem, Shenis Yado, Liknos Es Sha'ar Amo. Hashem will continue to apply his hand a second time to acquire the rest of his people, the She'ar, the remainder of the people. Second time, what means the second time? Rashi says, Kemo Shekana'am Mimitzrayim, Sha'isa Gu'ulasam Berura, Me'ein Shibud. That when we were taken out of Mitzrayim, we were taken out in an open exodus where there was no Shibud involved. And there's very interesting discussions of that. I believe it's attributed to the Rambam, but I remember a Rebbe of mine, Rav Lippe Geldberth, was once giving a shiur about it, and he was talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he said, the fact is that Paro could have let us out at any time. Why did Hashem continually harden his heart? Because at some point Paro might have let us out, and then he would be remembered as the great emancipator. He would be the great Abraham Lincoln, who ended slavery in his nation. So would we be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Gula? We would not. We would be grateful to Paro. Would say, what a great Paro! What a great man! He's the one that we owe our allegiance to. So Paro never did that. Hashem acquired his people through the great Ge'ula that involved no Shibud, Rashi says. And I believe what Rashi is hinting at is even a moral and ethical Shibud to the emancipator, where we owe him one. No. The Ge'ulas Bayis Sheni, however, is not in that category, Rashi says. Why? Shaharei Mishubatam Hayu Lekoresh, because the Persian Empire, we owed them allegiance for allowing us to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash with Ezra and Nehemiah. So this is different. This Geula is going to be different, just as Geulas Mitzrayim was different. Asher Yisha'er Me Ashur Mi Mitzrayim Umi Pasros Umi Kush. The Jewish people who remain, Hashem's people from Ashur, from Egypt, from Pasros, from Kush, Ume Elam, Ume Shinar, Ume Hamas, all of the great empires of the ancient world, all of these great locations. I just read Paul Johnson passed away last week. Tremendous person. Non-Jewish, wrote a book called The History of the Jews. that is unbelievable, highly recommended. And he said at one point that the Jewish people were very much a cosmopolitan nation. Wherever you find a major city in European history, you will find Jews there. We always congregated not in the countryside where we were forbidden from owning land and from being part of their society, but rather in the city where we could blend in with business interests that were unrelated to land ownership and withstand some of the anti-Semitic actions and limitations placed upon us. So all of these great empires of the ancient world show that we did that even then. Umayyah Hayyam. And even from the islands of the sea. Rashi says, for example, of the Yevanim. Yudbeis. V'nosa neis lagoyim v'osaf nidche Yisrael. Hashem will raise a banner. The neis in this case is a banner to the nations. And he will gather the lost ones of Yisrael. Reference, we assume, to the 12 tribes, the 10 tribes that have been lost. Unafutzos Yehuda yikabetz me'arba kanfos ha'aretz. And the scattered ones of Yehuda he will gather from the four corners of the earth. Think about what we have seen in our own time with the growth of the state of Israel in the late 20th century as Jews from all around the world have been gathered into Eretz Yisrael, excuse me, parts of what was once Yehuda, parts of what was once Yisrael, and now Eretz Yisrael for us all. So we're not getting quite to five psukim a day in this parak because there's just so much contained in it. But this incredible moment, centuries old exile and persecution, and here we are being brought back by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he becomes a banner to all of the nations to become aware of, and we'll wrap up the parak next time.